Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of over 3,000 video sessions, as well as other resources, which provide practical training for every ministry area of your church. Right now, you can get started with an annual subscription for 50% off. Don't miss this great deal. Find out more and get started today at ministrygrid.com. Now, enjoy the podcast.
You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Which on our newly formed Facebook group.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with this. Josh,
people are
something or other.
Hating on your what? They're like, and they weren't talking about this podcast. They were talking about the New Churches one, and they're like,
right.
I love the New Churches podcast, except for
when Todd does
Todd's
the what?
What?
Well, I intro this one a lot now,
yeah.
So I don't get to do the what anymore. And so, Josh, that was for you.
Yeah. So if you're not yet a part of that Facebook group, be sure to join that, because it's been an early launch. We've launched it pretty recently, and it's been cool to see the interaction so far on that Facebook group.
Yes.
It's called Community of Church Leaders, and we'll put it all in the show notes, but
we're
not here
less,
to talk about that.
Yeah. It's a decent community. It's not like most Facebook communities, which are basically like the bar in Star Wars.
Yeah, and memes. But today
it's May 4th when we're recording. I had to bring in a Star Wars reference. Come on. Come on. And that was a good one.
And I'm going to introduce Art Rayner. Hey, Art. Thanks for being on the podcast again.
Hey, guys. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, so this time around, we are actually going to ask Art our five questions, and he prepared for it. Last time he was on the podcast, right before we started, we were like, you know what? Let's ditch those questions and ask you other ones, but we decided to actually go with the script today.
Well, because
last time I prepare, and I'm ready, and then all of a sudden, Daniel, you say, you know what? I'm going to not ask those questions. Like, you know what, Daniel, thank you very, very much. You know, I did all that hard work, and you just completely just ruined it all for me.
But if you haven't listened to that, that's
it made it a much better podcast,
yeah,
actually.
Episode 100.
That's true. That's true. It probably ended up for the best.
It was episode 167. And on that, we talked about Art's book, The Money Challenge, about money and generosity. And, you know, one of the quotes, you know, give out of priority, give proportionally, give sacrificially, give joyfully. So be sure to go back and listen to that. But today we are going to be talking about really going through our regular five questions,
right,
while also touching on his newest book, The Marriage Challenge. Now, recently on the podcast I host with my wife, the In Between podcast, I interviewed you on the book. Episode 17, and that was fun. And what was fun, actually, Todd, I wanted to bring this up. I didn't bring it up before we started. For the podcast I do with my wife, Art decided to go in the studio for that one.
Oh.
But for this podcast, he's in his office with his earbuds.
You know what? He did that because he knows that I... No, look, he did that because he knows that I judge people based on their books. And so he has.
I got a ton of books behind me.
Degrees, dark wood, and many. I would like to say leather bound books, but they're not leather bound. But they are. There are some good books up there.
Yeah, I have quite a few. If you want me to move the screen around, I can show you.
Show you. No,
I couldn't get into the studio this time around. It's already booked. So for better
that's
or worse,
okay. I see where your priorities are.
Me with earbuds.
I just wanted to point that out first. But Art is the Vice President for Institutional Advancement at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He holds a Doctor of Business Administration from Nova Southeastern University, an MBA as well. Has three children and lives with his wife Sarah in Wake Forest, North Carolina. So thanks again for being on the podcast, Art.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
Cool. So let's get into the questions. The first one is, who are you learning from?
Who am I learning from? Wow. Well, I would say that there's really three leaders in my life that I have learned from and continue to learn from. So I would say number one, probably the most influential guy in my life actually has to be my dad. And his name's Dr. Tom Rayner. He's the president of Lifeway Christian Resources. And I continue to learn from him. There's another guy named Jimmy Scroggins, who's a pastor down at Family Church in West Palm Beach. And then here at Southeastern Seminary, our president, Dr. Danny Aiken, he's another guy that I respect, I admire. And with all those guys, I'm learning just different things about leadership. And I would say primarily what I learned from all of them is that leadership requires courage. It requires courage. And that's, that I would say is, it almost maybe defines a leader, that the need to be able to step out and be courageous, the ability to overcome fear, the fear of failure, the fear of caring what others think. All of those three men have demonstrated that at some point in my life, and continue to demonstrate that. And so I'm constantly learning from those guys.
Love that. That's great. What podcasts and some recent books that you've read would you highlight for our audience?
Well, of course, I'm passionate about the area of personal finances. So I do like Planet Money, which is an NPR podcast. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have Dave Ramsey. I mean, that would be a classic. Eric Edelman's another good podcast to listen to. I also like
How I Built This is awesome.
Man, that is a wonderful podcast. And the lesson that I learned from that podcast is simply that these things, in order to accomplish something great, it takes time and it takes a lot of work. Mm. For the vast majority of people, you hear these stories of individuals who take significant risk, who work long hours over an extended period of time to achieve what they have achieved. So this idea of momentary success that we often attribute to companies and individuals is a complete farce. And there's many grueling hours and days and weeks and years of hard work that eventually lead to the success that most of those on that particular podcast experience.
So good. Good, good. All right. What's your main point of emphasis in your leadership right now?
Listening. If I could define an area that I need to probably most improve on, it's the area of listening. I've discovered that there's actually great power to not being the first to speak, but being the last to speak, to allowing others to have their opinions and to be able to throw out their ideas. When you're a leader and you're in a meeting, if you speak first, then you're going to shut down a lot of the good conversation that could and good ideas that could transpire, because those around the table are going to immediately defer to your particular opinion or your particular idea, which may or may not be the best idea. Mm-hmm. And so I have a great team here at Southeastern Seminary, and they have a lot of experience, and they have a lot of really good ideas. And if I don't sit back and allow that conversation among them to take place first about whatever idea or strategy that we're trying to consider, then I could quickly shut down really good ideas just because of the position that I'm in.
I think it's interesting because sometimes you sit around a table and it's almost like everybody feels like they have to say something or they mm-hmm. have to contribute. And it just adds to a meeting. And there are plenty of people that just because you speak well and you can articulate something doesn't mean you actually have something to say.
Absolutely right.
And I think a big part of listening then is, appropriately contributing more than anything else.
Yeah. Now, but how do you in what you just said, Art? How do you create a culture where people aren't just saying stuff, knowing that yeah, Art's going to then kind of trump us at the end. He's just letting us talk. Because sometimes I've seen that kind of culture too, where right. the leaders listen to a podcast like this or read a book and has everyone talk. You know, it's, and okay. then and then they
I'm
say,
asking
okay, no,
a
but
question.
This is what we're doing.
7 minutes, I can come in.
Exactly.
No, you have to acknowledge that your idea may not be the best idea yeah. in the room. There's an element of humility that has to be there with the leader. A way to develop that particular culture is, of course, to go with an idea that's not your idea, and so allow when you do put out your idea. Take criticism, sometimes even questioning your own. If you don't receive criticism or questioning from your own team, then do that yourself.
Yeah.
Say, question your assumptions and allow them to speak into that so that they feel the freedom to question your idea or your strategy or whatever you're discussing. But I would have to say that probably the best way to develop a culture of collaboration in among your team and allowing them to speak into the ideas and the strategies is to actually do one of their ideas.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You're right. I mean, what clearer way to demonstrate that the collaborative, you know, the co-learning kind of culture than going with someone else's
idea? Do either one of you know any really good listeners?
My wife.
Do I know any really good listeners?
Yeah. And so describe what that look, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the pieces that I've learned from Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Seminary. He is an incredible listener. He will sit back when we're with the cabinet, which is if you're in an academic institution, which is what we are, that's kind of the executive team. He'll sit back and allow the discussion to transpire, and it's everybody feels incredibly free to speak into it, and he will say his piece, and I can tell you that we always don't go with his initial idea. Now, ultimately, he of course has to make the final call, but that final call isn't always where he started. It may be an idea that's come from areas within the school.
Yeah, I recently heard a leader admit, and he's a baby boomer, admit, and this guy's a really strategic thinker. He basically admitted, okay, from now on, I'm not going to be a part of naming anything anymore, because he realized his age, and in order to appeal to right. more of the masses, he just wasn't up with that. But he's a fantastic strategic thinker. So it was interesting to see him kind of step away from the table when it comes to that and actually admit that about himself, and you know, even though he was a leader.
Well, let me offer another point of just a way to encourage that type of conversation among your leading leaders, because that's one thing as a leader that you're doing is you're developing other leaders. So another way to encourage that is to publicly celebrate their success. And so if it is somebody's idea, I can think of a very specific incident just the past couple of weeks where I was sitting with one of my team members, and we were sitting around a table with some trustees and some other very important people for our school. And I said, hey, you know what this guy has done? You know, this particular event, this particular thing that we are now doing, that's his idea. Now, I could have, as a leader, because it fell under my umbrella, under my watch, I could have said, this is something we're doing, and basically made it look like it was my idea. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And I said, this is what he is doing, and this is what he's done. And shifted all of the attention to him. Now, I can't say, I'm not trying to make me the hero, because I can't say that I do that perfectly all the time, but that's one thing that I try to do on a more regular basis, is showcase what the team is doing. And when it is their particular idea, celebrate it, publicly celebrate it.
Yeah, I like that. Now, the third question is one of my favorite ones. because it goes into your daily rhythms, your leadership, your life. So other than reading the Bible, what are
and the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. What are two or three things that you must do daily, and what benefit do they have for your life and leadership?
Yeah, I have to, the number one thing outside of, as you said, reading the Bible and praying and, is reading other books. I'm a constant reader. Usually have about three or four different books that I'm going through. As you mentioned, I have a lot of books behind me. I've actually given away a lot of the books that used to be on the shelf. And it's just because I'm always reading. Mm. Of course, the common phrase that everybody says is that leaders are readers. I actually believe that. As I look at those individuals that I've been associated with, who I would say they're great leaders. They are simultaneously great readers. They're always reading. Some have to do with their particular area of expertise. Other times they're just reading books that they just want to. Yeah. They just want to learn something new. And so there's something about reading that helps you stay sharp, helps you make better decisions. It exercises your brain. So that is something that I do on a very regular basis. And then another part of my life rhythm now is actually I write every day. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but I try to make sure that I sit down and spend some time writing it in a similar way. It exercises the mind in the way that books does, and also helps you articulate ideas in a better way, which can help you hopefully lead your team better, provide better ideas for your team.
Yeah. So when you're writing, then, I mean, what kind of writing is that, and what is it for?
Well, normally I have some type of project, whether it's okay. my personal blog, an article, a book. Normally there's some type of project that I have ahead of me. Now, that wasn't always the case. Mm. There was a time when nobody wanted anything that I had to write. And so I would just actually write on my own. Okay. There's a backlog of who knows how many potential articles and bad ideas and bad book concepts that are out there, that I did well before I started getting any attention in the writing arena.
Let me ask this. So you talked about reading daily, as well as writing daily. What are some of the best books you've read in the last 3 months or so?
Well, I can tell you about one that I'm reading right now that has already, and I haven't even finished the book. And I got to tell you, it's a wonderful book. It's Donald Miller's latest book, which is Building a Story Brand. And
that's a great book.
I cannot recommend that book enough. Even once again, I haven't even finished the book. Just the first few chapters, the concepts that are in there, you're just like, yeah, that's right. That makes sense. He starts talking about how as organizations, we often try to take on the hero role in a person's story, and that's completely wrong. We need to make them the hero, and we're just the guide that provides them the plan. And that's how you connect with your audience, with your customers, or with your, in our case, prospective students. And so, man, he does a great job in unpacking those ideas in a very simple, easy to understand way. I would any of the listeners out there, I would commend that book to you.
That's good. Good. Dan. So, what does leadership in your home look like?
Yeah, wow, Sarah. So, my wife, her name's Sarah, and as you mentioned, we have three very wild and crazy boys. They're a lot of fun though. God has really blessed our house. We have a 7-year-old, a 4.5-year-old, and I say 4.5 because he will tell you that he's 4.5. You say he's 4, he will correct you. He's 4.5, and a 20-month-old. They're all boys, and so leadership for me right now means showing them what it is like to have a relationship with Christ, and to hopefully demonstrate Christ to them by the way that I act, the words that I use, the way that I treat my wife. Once again, I wish that I could say I do it all perfectly. I am truly a work in progress right now with those areas, because I've realized that this. So there was a phrase that was given to me a while ago. It was meant for leadership, and it's that everything communicates something to somebody, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful concept. I don't know where it originated. It's not mine, but I believe it, and I try to think about that on a very regular basis. What am I communicating? Whether it's not just the decisions that I make, but my tone of voice, just everything that I do, it's telling other people something. I'm communicating something. So the same is, it's not only true if you're the leader in an organization, but it's also true if you're a leader in the house, even maybe more so, that everything that you're doing is communicating something to those in your house. And it's kind of scary if you've raised kids, and I know you all have, how you'll see your child say or do something that makes you grimace a little bit, because that thing is exactly what you say and do, and you wish that they wouldn't say or do that thing, but you know you do the exact same thing. And and there's even been times in my own house where my boys have done something. I said, "Hey, guys, you can't do that. You can't say that." And the response is, "Well, you do." And you're like, "Oh no, you're right. Yeah. I do that." So it's everything communicates something to somebody in your house. That is, I would say, truer than ever.
Yeah. So the worst brutal. Is when they call you out on it and you don't actually realize that you do that, that you actually do that yourself.
Yeah. And then you find yourself saying those terrible, terrible phrases like, "Do as I say, not as I do."
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, "Oh, I can't believe I'm even saying that." Yeah. And, it's man, parenting. It's been a journey for us in our house.
Yeah. Or you're like, "Well, I don't care. I'm your dad. Just go do it."
Exactly. Just do it because I said so. Oh, man, did I really say that? Did I really say because I said so? Yep. Man.
Brutal. Which is why everyone should read Parenting by Paul Tripp. Oh, you had him on our podcast.
Goodness.
And that's my wife and I want to practice. Yeah.
Self-loathing.
I mean, we're still trying to figure out. No, literally, every time we have to discipline, or one of my girls is kind of, you know, we're trying to figure out, hey, how do we stop this lying, this pattern of lying and stuff? And it's just trying to figure out, hey, how do I, because I directly go to law. I always go to law. And, you know, Christina will be like, "Was that full of grace?" And I'm like, "Shut up. I don't know." That's not the point. Don't bring up Paul Tripp on me.
It's kind of like a Jesus joke.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the last question, you know what, Art? We talked about the money challenge on episode 167, and this book is called The Marriage Challenge. So why don't you give us a little bit, because we're talking about marriage and we're talking about leadership at home, talk to us about how this is different than the money challenge.
Yeah, guys, I'm really excited about this particular book. I'm grateful that I was able to put it out there. As you all know, the statistics on, the relationship between money and marriage, I mean, they're pretty dire. Arguments about money is commonly noted as one of the most frequent reasons for divorce. If a couple argues about money, that's one of the key indicators that they will get a divorce in the future. And this is just according to studies that show this over and over and over again. And I truly believe that it doesn't have to be this way. I don't think that money has to be this thing that constantly divides marriages. In fact, I think that as opposed to a marriage divider, it can almost be a marriage harmonizer. Mm. That if we find and we pursue God's design for our marriage and our money, it can lead to significantly greater purpose, contentment, and oneness in our marriage. And so the marriage challenge helps couples get on the same page financially. It helps couples if they're struggling with debt or any of these financial challenges that many people face. Right now, if you have credit card debt, you're likely to average about $15,000 in credit card debt. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of stress. That's on you. That
a lot of
if you're married, extends to your. It's a lot of interest. Stress extends to your to your marriage. So it helps individuals, couples walk through how to get and how to pursue financial health, but not necessarily for this, not just for the sake of financial health. It's a means to a much greater end, and that's contentment, satisfaction, open-handed living, and oneness. And so the Marriage Challenge helps couples do just that. Mm-hmm. Of course, I want them to be financially healthy. In fact, I dedicate one chapter, chapter four, to becoming a millionaire. And I say point blank, I want you to become a millionaire. Now, I correctly define what a millionaire is. I'm not saying I want you to make $1 million in a year. Of course, I celebrate that if you do. But to have a net worth of $1 million, which essentially means you've paid off your house and you have enough set aside for retirement. So to be an actual millionaire. And I want couples to be able to achieve that. So I want that financial health piece, but for the sake of oneness, for the sake of aligning themselves with God's design for their marriage, mm-hmm. and being able to experience as a couple that generous, open-handed lifestyle that God's wants for us. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to use our resources for kingdom advancing things.
Yeah.
So that's what the Marriage Challenge is about.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, both books are so incredibly solid. What I particularly loved about this one is how you teased out kind of the money personalities, the spender, saver, investor, ignorer. And my wife and I have kind of talked about this more and more so since reading the book. So, I mean, this is going to be a very, very helpful book, not only for you as a listener, but for your spouse and for your congregation as well. So we encourage you to pick up a copy at lifeway.com, Amazon, anywhere books are sold. But yeah.
So good. I will be picking up this one to go with the former one. So we've already done the first one. But I think in particular, reading it with your spouse,
yeah,
has got to be something. And yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen couples who will have separate bank accounts. And I'm like, it doesn't sound right. I didn't really know how to respond to them. So, I mean, reading Art's book, Art, you've really given me good language to know how to counsel and to teach toward that rather than just saying it's a bad idea.
Which that, and I know we don't probably want to completely dive into this on this podcast, but, you know, that the reason why I addressed that particular issue is because I was doing premarital counseling in the financial arena for our church. And that was just one of the most common questions and objections that came up. You have two accounts. They planned on keeping everything separate. And unfortunately, that's not a reflection of what God has designed for us and in our marriage. And it leads to greater problems, as statistics will show, which I, of course, put those in the book. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get into our last question, which is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
So I would tell my 20-year-old self to be patient, to not strive to achieve success too early. There's a lot of growth and learning that can occur through the process of becoming a leader. Sometimes you can, even though I would classify myself still as a pretty young leader, but I've seen many young leaders kind of get into these leadership roles too early, and they haven't had the experience that they need. That's not to say that young leaders can't be there, but I would just say that the process is valuable. That there's a lot that you can learn through experience and through mistakes and through watching others carefully over long periods of time.
Good. Yeah, so good.
Well, we want to thank you again for being back on the podcast. It's been
absolutely
a great conversation. I know that it's going to be helpful for us as well as our listeners. So thanks again for coming through and bringing it as you always do.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Art.
Thank you for listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church year-round for 50% off, visit ministrygrid.com. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com.